crackled on the tops of the masts. Vorbis turned. The light was reflected in the pit of his eyes.
"It is all for the glory of Om," he said. "Trust is our sail, and glory is our destination."
The captain had had enough. He was unsteady on the subject of religion, but felt fairly confident that after 30 years he knew something about the sea.
"The ocean floor is our destination," he shouted.
Vorbis shrugged.
"I did not say there would not be stops along the way," he said.
The captain stared at him and then fought his way back across the heaving deck. What he knew about the sea was that storms like this didn't just happen. You didn't just sail from calm water in the midst of a raging hurricane. This wasn't the sea, this was personal. Lightning struck the mainmast. There was a scream from the darkness as a mass of torn sail and rigging crashed onto the deck. The captain half swam, half climbed up the ladder to the wheel, where the helmsman was a shadow in the spray and the eerie storm glow.
"We'll never make it alive!"
"Correct."
"We'll have to abandon ship."
"No, we will take it with us. It's a nice ship."
The captain peered closer in the murk.
"Is that you, Bosun Copley?"
"Would you like another guess?"
The hull hit a submerged rock and ripped open. Lightning struck the remaining mast, and like a paper boat that had been too long in the water, the fin of God folded up. Balks of timber splintered and fountained up into the whirling sky, and there was a sudden, velvety silence. The captain found that he had acquired a recent memory. It involved water and a ringing in his ears and the sensation of cold fire in his lungs, but it was fading. He walked over to the rail, his footsteps loud in the quietness, and looked over the side. Despite the fact that the recent memory included something about the ship being totally smashed, it now seemed to be whole again, in a way.
He said, "we appear to have run out of sea."
"Yes."
"And land, too."
The captain tapped the rail. It was greyish and slightly transparent.
Is this wood?"
"Morphic memory."
"Sorry?"
"You were a sailor. You have heard a ship referred to as a living thing?"
"Oh, yes, you can't spend a night on a ship without feeling that it has a soul."
"Yes."
The memory of Finn of God sailed on through the silence. There was the distant sighing of wind, or of the memory of wind, the blown-out corpses of dead gales.
Said the ghost of the captain. "Did you just say were?"
"Yes."
"Ah, I thought you did."
The captain stared down. The crew was assembling on deck, looking up at him with anxious eyes. He looked down further. In front of the crew, the ship's rats had assembled. There was a tiny robed shape in front of them. It said,
"Squeak!"
He thought, even rats have a death. Death stood aside and beckoned to the captain.
"You have the wheel?"
But where are we going?"
"Who knows?"
The captain gripped the spokes helplessly.
"But there's no stars that I recognize. No charts. What are the winds here? Where are the currents?"
Death shrugged. The captain turned the wheel aimlessly. The ship glided on through the ghost of a sea. Then he brightened up. The worst had already happened. It was amazing how good it felt to know that. And if the worst had already happened...
"Where's Vorbis?" he growled.
"He survived."
"Did he? There's no justice."
"There's just me."
Death vanished. The captain turned the wheel a bit for the look of the thing. After all, he was still captain, and this was still, in a way, his ship.
"Mr. Mate?"
The mate saluted.
"Sir?"
Where shall we go now?"
The mate scratched his head.
"Well, Captain, I did hear as the heathen clatch have got this paradise place where there's drinking and singing and young women with bells on and you know, regardless."
The mate looked hopefully at his captain.
"Regardless, eh?"
said the captain thoughtfully.
"So I did hear."
The captain felt that he might be due some regardless.
"Any idea how you get there?"
"I think you get given instructions when you're alive," said the mate.
"Oh,
and there's some barbarians up towards the hub," said the mate, relishing the word, "who reckon they go to a big hall where there's all sorts to eat and drink."
And women?
Bound to be.